The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston continues now.
What's happening, Paul?
What's up, Paul?
Most interactive show, and really enjoy that aspect of it. Y'all keep it up.
Get involved in the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776. Here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston, 713-780-3776 to call in and text in. We are 8 days away from the NFL draft, and a bit that we are doing until the NFL draft officially begins. When it comes to pre-draft conversation, would I rather listen to something terrible or would I rather listen to pre-draft conversation? Someone asked this question. What would Paul watch? Super Bowl replays of the Giants beating my Patriots or NFL draft talk? I'd watch an old game every single time. That's a traumatizing game, but it was a good game. I guess the real question is, which Giants Super Bowl victory over my Patriots would you pick? The latter was a better game. The first game had a nice finish, but the rest of the first game was kind of adjacent to that Patriots-Rams Super Bowl that we saw a couple of years ago. Like, no one could do anything. No one could move the football. But then at the very end, Patriots took the lead. Giants drive down. They take the lead. There's almost that Hail Mary that Randy Moss caught from Tom Brady. It was like slightly overthrown. It was an incredible throw, almost an incredible catch. Another question, this is in relation to our last segment where we were talking about the Rockets and some of the rumors about how Jaylen Brown maybe is interested in going to Houston. I think those rumors are not necessarily based in a lot of fact at this moment in time, but I do think that if there is any interest of Jaylen Brown to go elsewhere, that Ime Udoka would be a fantastic reason for Jaylen Brown to look at Houston through a different lens. Corey asks, if the Rockets don't get the first or second pick, would you trade it for Jaylen Brown? That is tricky. I think I would. I guess outside of Victor Wembanyama, there's no one in that draft that I feel like is an absolute can't miss. And Wembanyama, with that frame, could be a miss. You got Scoot Henderson, right? And you got Brandon Miller from Alabama. That would make it intriguing, the number three pick. I mean, Miller, whatever, character concerns. The guy balled through those character concerns. He could clearly deal with adversity. That's for damn sure. So I don't know. I think I'd have a tough time with number three, but I probably would say yes eventually, because what are the odds that Brandon Miller is going to be better than Jaylen Brown as a pro? I would say less than 50%. But I don't think it's that far off. Miller's shown that he's an incredible scorer. And, I mean, it's a big part of this. But maybe you want somebody who's more of a two-way player, and Brown is, I think, about as well-rounded as it gets in basketball.
And there's some reporting in the Kelly Eco piece after the season about Stephen Sias getting fired that whoever their next coach is, or no matter who the next coach is, there will be some expectation of winning for Rafael Stone to retain his job. There will have to be some sort of upswing. So maybe that plays a part in you want the better player,
right,
the player that is better today than banking on the upside of Brandon Miller 3 years from now.
The better player today might make the younger players around him better.
Yeah, that too. That, you know, you play your cards right this offseason, and you could pretty easily see yourself like in that play-in mix next year, which is good for a young team.
100%. Okay, we're going to do a Texans draft time capsule. And we'll come back to this. We are going to give our official takes, really quick ones, on how we will feel, gut reaction, if the Texans take any of these players with the number 2 overall pick. Let's assume that Bryce Young is off the board. If the Texans take C.J. Stroud, you know what I will say? Good. I won't be excited, but I'll be good. They got a guy. We'll see what happens. At the very least, there's an intriguing reason to watch. Sean, what would your very quick reaction be if the Texans draft C.J. Stroud 2 overall?
Yeah, probably about, you know, golf clap. Good stuff. Good, you know, kept it in the fairway. Let's move on.
If the Texans take Anthony Richardson, what would I think? Bleep yeah.
We're on the same page.
It would be so fun. I mean, it could be an absolute train wreck, but Richardson is someone that if I were in charge of making the decisions, I would not pick him. But from a sit back and watch, this could be really fun perspective through the good and the bad, even if there's a lot of bad. Richardson leads to the most possible outcomes.
Yes. I want to feel something. Give me Anthony Richardson, because I know at least I'll feel something.
He's a Las Vegas wedding.
Yeah.
Like, it's probably going to end poorly, but that night was fun.
Yeah. Anthony Richardson is like going on a bender, like for yeah. I don't know, until he's good or bad. Until it's definitive whether he's good or bad, it's just going to be a wild ride.
If the Texans take Will Levis, my immediate reaction will be I'd have to talk myself into selling myself on it. I'm just going to look at that through perhaps an unfair prism. No offense. It's like that's he's a white quarterback from Kentucky. He checks a lot of the boxes off. He's got the athleticism. He's got the size and all that stuff. But I'm sort of like, of all of these guys, the one who is the most boring is by far Will Levis of the quarterbacks at the top of the draft.
Yeah, because he has that, like, oh, he's so just, like, prototypically NFL quarterback that you're like, the.
Yeah, exactly.
I just wouldn't want to deal with Jeremy Branham. I just Jeremy's aggressive PR campaign for
Will
Levis
like it.
Has me no that has me like
I see when Jeremy sinks his teeth into a take, like he does not give that thing up, and I respect it.
I respect it too. I just don't want to deal with it.
But we can make fun of it. Like that'll be
true.
That's free content for us.
True.
See, didn't think.
Well, if he's right, that's the worst case.
If he's right, we'll give him credit. I mean,
the Texans draft Will Levis, and he's good.
If he's right, it's good for everybody. If that's where he wants to go, fine. It's crazy how confident he is about Will bleeping Levis, but hey, like, be you. We love it. We'd have to sell ourselves on that. Texans time capsule for this NFL draft. How are we going to be feeling a week from today if that's 2 overall the Texans take? We did all the quarterbacks. If they take Jalen Carter. If they take Jalen Carter, my gut reaction is going to be, this makes a lot of sense. He's a big interior defensive lineman, but Jesus Christ. Like, there are so many red flags. It's hard to find a green flag other than the fact
he's
that
he's really good.
He's awesome, you know? But it's every other red flag.
Yes,
it's like, my God, this guy could be an absolute disaster, specifically more so off the field. But their defensive line is so bad, so it would make sense.
My mind would just be, whew, this is a new era of Texans football, because my entire life, the Texans do not draft this guy.
Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do? I don't know the rest of the words.
When they come for you.
Oh, okay.
Bad boys, bad boys.
If the Texans take Will Anderson, boring. That's my gut reaction. That's boring. Jalen Carter, like, at least it's fun.
Yeah, Jalen Carter has a little bit of the Anthony Richardson, like, oh buddy, this could go in either way.
If the Texans take Tyree Wilson, and keep in mind, I haven't watched any Tyree Wilson. I just know he's a defender from Texas Tech. gut reaction, bust, bust. I'll say it. I'll say it right now. And I hope he proves me wrong. I will say that too. But Tyree Wilson, of all the guys that they could potentially draft second overall, that's the one I do not want that to happen. Even if that ends up being the right pick. Just don't want it.
Yeah, that's my favorite. Even if it's a good pick, I don't want
it. Yeah, I don't want it. I don't want it. Like, Will Anderson makes more sense. He's just boring comparatively. Tyree Wilson. Anyway, so that we're going to put that in a time capsule. We will come back to that on Friday when we react to whatever the Texans do in that first round. Coming up next, I still got to make that admission that's going to disgust all of you about something that I've really been enjoying through these NBA playoffs. And, God, baseball players are such weenies. This is an all-time embarrassing story from somebody who was rubbed in our face during a unfortunate World Series. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and
92.5. ESPN. 97.5. Houston's most interactive and possibly radioactive sports talk show continues now on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Juan Soto was rubbed in our face during the 2019 World Series a lot. Do you know how young I saw that? That was how Joe Buck sounded. Every single time in the World Series. He's just 20 years old. Was he 21? Honestly, I don't even remember. I've tried to shut it out of my mind along with the entirety of that World Series. I remember I had just moved to Seattle for the job at the radio station up there. And the entire time, I was, at that moment in time, allowed to be an outside-the-closet Astros fan. And I just remember, while I was moving into my new apartment, watching that World Series and hearing that regularly. Like, Juan Soto, only 5 years old.
He was youngest, only 21.
Only 21.
In 2019.
Youngest five-year-old to ever play in a World Series. Well, Juan Soto has sucked since joining the San Diego Padres. He has hit 164 this year. He's 0-21 on the current homestead San Diego's on. And in the 70 games he's played since joining San Diego, his slash line is 218, 377, 383 with 9 homers and 23 runs batted in. Before that, with Washington, in 565 games, 291, 427, 538, with 128 home runs and 381 RBI. So he's been terrible. He's also a bad fielder on top of all of it. But he is giving an interesting excuse for his struggles this year. Juan Soto is still having a hard time adjusting to the pitch clock. He specifically lamented there not being enough time coming out of the on-deck circle to get himself ready and begin plate appearances. Can we pause for a second? What the hell's the point of the on-deck circle then, Juan? What's the point? You're literally waiting to get up to the plate. You can't do it then. God, these Gen Zers. I mean, how soft are you? Millennials, we're not the best. But I'm blaming this on just Gen Z culture. Oh, I couldn't get ready. There's literally an on-deck circle. There's also the top of the dugout. There's also the dugout. I think you have plenty of time to get ready for an at-bat.
No. On deck circle, that's when you're on TikTok. And then once, I'm up? Okay, then you get ready.
I want Juan Soto to do a TikTok dance while he's in the on deck circle. Here's what Juan said. There's no time at all. You can't even play mind games anymore. What are you talking about? Please elaborate the mind game that you or a pitcher get into during an at-bat. Please, just tell me. Tell me what it is. Is it the spitting out the dip? Is it the chewing of the bubble gum? Is it the spitting out of sunflower seeds? Is it the spitting out of peanuts? Is it the reaching into your pants and adjusting your cup? Is it the reaching into your pants and adjusting your bits and piece? Is it reaching into your pants to scratch your ass? Is it adjusting your gloves because you're OCD? Like, what are the mind games here? Staring a pitcher down? I want soda. I'm just going to stare at you, and you're going to start playing mind games. No. No. And again, I'm just going to keep on going back to why. Like, why do people want these games to be longer? So that people like Juan Soto can say that, yeah, this extra time, I'm actually being productive during it? Oh, it's not enough time to get ready. You have plenty of time. There's an entire at-bat before yours. It's slightly quicker now. Much like your at-bat is slightly quicker. Get used to it.
Yeah, it's also at this point, like, dude, this is the rule. Like, this is baseball. You got to get good at this part of it now. Like,
but I want to play mind games.
Hey, Corey Jolks doesn't have any problem getting ready in the on deck circle.
No,
you know, like there's guys like if everyone in baseball is hitting 150, then yeah, okay, maybe you have a point. It's just you. This is you, and Manny Machado has also not been good at it. It's you guys. I don't know what else to say.
A text from the 281. If Juan Soto has an issue, then what the bleep would happen to Nomar Garcia Parra? That is a great question. Nomar!
Just paralyzed, just like in there. Just.
He might pee himself. Yeah, if I don't get the gloves readjusted, I don't know what I'm going to do. Anxiety attack? Does he need to like have a paper bag in his pocket to take out? I don't know.
Could he just stand in the batter's box but still readjust his gloves like as a pitch is coming? Like he just like, this next pitch I just cannot swing at because I need to adjust my gloves. And then the next pitch I'll be ready.
Yeah.
So the pitcher gets every two pitches for Nomar being ready.
HRW on the Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, says they try to break up each other's rhythm. That's such a lame thing.
Yeah, like, he's pitching too well. I had to disrupt his rhythm.
So, you don't want to beat somebody when they're giving their absolute best to you?
I got to disrupt the rhythm.
Rhythm, I think, is very subjective. The idea that being in a rhythm is going to keep you at your best. You might feel confident, but does confidence always end in success? I think the most confident people at a bar will tell you that they're probably like career 100 hitters. They just keep shooting and shooting and shooting.
Also, like, is this like getting guys out of the rhythm worth 70 points of batting average? Is that like his entire career is based off of getting guys out of rhythm?
Sean.
That's all he did? He wasn't a good hitter this whole time? The Astros should have won that World Series? Oh my God.
Sean, you're right. You're right. He is like
Elaine
from Seinfeld on the dance floor. He's trying to get everyone out of their rhythm because he is out of his rhythm. He doesn't know how to do it. I'm sorry.
This guy was just a slow. He was just all he was good at was being slow. That was
pretty much.
He couldn't hit the entire time.
Pretty much. This is legitimately pathetic. It's a pathetic excuse. And I know there were some people that were pushing for the idea of Juan Soto at the baseball trade deadline. I don't think I would have said no to it, but man, this has backfired spectacularly for San Diego. I guess Fernando Tatis is coming back this week, finally.
By the way, have you seen his like minor league numbers?
Are they bad?
No, the opposite. He's hitting like 600.
Oh, awesome. Okay, cool.
It's just hilarious just to see like he's batting 600 with like, I think there's a stretch where like, five of his last seven at-bats were home runs or something. It was just like a video game.
I'm excited to see him back. Tatis is a bit of a dummy off the field, but there are definitely some Manny Ramirez vibes where he's just so damn good that it's just a matter of, okay, well, what's the next dumb thing that he'll do?
And he's already got the positive drug test out of the way, just like Manny Ramirez.
Perfect, so. Perfect. Now you just need to have some weird out moves in the outfield. Soto does a lot of those, by the way. Soto is a terrible fielder. Okay, here's my admission about something I've really enjoyed during the NBA playoffs, and you're going to be disgusted. You know all those pimple popping commercials? I'm not going to lie, I kind of like them. I have a problem. I don't know what it is.
So the guy with three softball-sized cysts in your head, you're like, oh, yeah, give me some of that.
It's kind of fascinating.
Let's see how Dr. Pipple Popper gets him out of this one.
Do you want to know something even more gross that I'm sort of into?
Oh, my God.
Earwax extraction.
Oh my God.
I don't know why.
Paul, oh my God.
I don't know
Paul,
why.
I knew you were weird, but
I mean, these are my two things that
freak.
I know. So one time I logged in on my Google account to a company computer. This was in Seattle. And someone started asking, like, why am I getting all these advertisements for earwax extraction? And I was like, oh damn, don't check my history. I gotta log out.
You watch 2 hours of earwax extraction?
No, not 2 hours, but I don't know. Every now and then, it's kind of cool to watch. I don't know, man.
I understand some of it, but
it's not like it arouses me. It's just I like watching it.
No.
It's gross.
I didn't think it aroused you until you said it didn't arouse you. Now I'm not sure.
It's nuts that stuff gets stuck in you. It is.
It's nuts that your ears are filled with earwax.
So I had a cyst in the side of my face, and it like basically blew up to the size of like a very large pea. And I had surgery on it twice to remove it. First time they tried to pull it all out, but they didn't get all of it out, so it grew back. And it's something that grew like several times for me. One time it was growing in college. I was playing football. I got kneed in the face, and it was gone. I know. It was just gone. I was like, wait, what? And I didn't get a bruise. I didn't break my jaw or anything like that. I just got kneed in the face. Thing was gone. So it was gone for a couple of years. But it comes back. And they extract it out. It came back again. So they extracted it out again. And this time they legit cut a hole in my face. And they pulled it out. And it was like bulb sized. It was so – like I have pictures. So if anyone's into that, you know, I could share it to you. Maybe that's Paul's new – OnlyFans is just earwax extraction, pimple popping, and pictures of my cyst that was in my face. Anyway, sorry. I had to get that off my chest. This is an honest admission. For whatever reason, that fascinates me, and I know everyone else hates the commercial, but I kind of like it.
See, for me, it doesn't bother me. But I wouldn't say I like it either. I wouldn't say I'm like, hell yeah. Pop those pimples. I am just like, this is fine.
I am hell yeah. I am team hell yeah.
The one guy that they've been showing the commercial for with the three softball size cysts, like that's rough.
Oh man.
That's rough.
But I'm glad that he got it out. It's gotta be painful. I'm assuming, yeah.
I don't know. Maybe does Dr. Pimple Popper have 100% success rate?
Probably.
Okay.
Someone on the Twitch, E315, says, I had a cyst under my eyelid. I also had a cyst under my eyelid once. I had to get that taken out. That was terrifying because you keep your eye open and they don't really numb it. They just take it out. But they did it. And it was covered by my insurance. Thank you, insurance. Because I was like, this is going to cost so much. Oh, my God. Didn't end up being that bad. I think like basically what they do is they to try to if you got a cool doctor, the cool doctor will be like, oh, I wasn't sure if it was cancerous. And then they'll take it out. But if it's like for cosmetic reasons, then they're probably going to say something else. It'll be $7 million.
I just love the idea of cool doctor.
Cool doctor.
Cool cyst removing doctor.
Dr. Cox. His cyst removal.
His hat on backwards.
Yeah. You know, a little insurance fraud. What's wrong with that? All right. It is the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You want to jump aboard 713-780-3776 to call and to text. Should ownership be allowed in sports to pressure the roster builders into making a move they maybe don't want to make? There's an interesting conspiracy theory about one of the teams in town. First, though, I have to tell you about an awesome boxing matchup this weekend on Showtime. A dream matchup between undefeated superstars. The power of Gervonta Tank Davis squaring off against the speed pew 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 of King Ryan Garcia in a highly anticipated mega fight with two of boxing's most popular fighters. So going toe-to-toe in a battle of aggressive, dynamic styles and colorful personalities that transcend the sport. Is it going to be the power of the tank that keeps rolling? Like it's the Americans in World War One, or will the speed of King reign supreme? Don't miss the boxing event of the year. Davis Garcia live on pay-per-view this Saturday. Show.com, SHO.com/PPV to order now. Look, guys, it's going to be a lot of fun. Boxing's fun. This is going to be a great fight. Again, if you want to see Gervonta Tank Davis or King Ryan Garcia, you're rooting for one of those guys. It is Saturday, SHO.com/pay-per-view to order now.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
Locked in with the Paul Gallant Show.
You're locked in here with me.
Please send help from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston. I think a lot of people are perhaps a little bit more clued in as to why I am the way that I am after I admitted that I like the Dr. Pimple Popper commercials. Lance Zierlein said something on the Establish the Run podcast and probably on the bench as well, but it's a tweet that went viral. Lance, of course, at the bench right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 mornings, 7 to 10. He spoke about an interesting element about the Texans in that number two spot. Said Lance, the wild card now, the rumors are, the wife, Hannah McNair, is more involved, which I don't think is a bad thing. They are more involved now. Pause. One, they are more involved now. Two, I don't think it's a bad thing either. I think it's great. I think Hannah's sharp. Anyway, this quote continues. Now, does this extend into getting their hands in a place where Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans are running things? I don't know if they would do that. I've heard the building is split on C.J. Stroud. It's not like there's no Stroud juice there. There absolutely is. So I wonder about this. I think that Hannah and probably others in the Texans organization, but specifically Hannah, instead of what the old Texans used to do, where they really just ignored feedback from anybody, I think that Hannah has encouraged Cal to be more open to said feedback. And it also could be Cal's credit for being in a more expansive role after the passing of his father with the Texans right now. But it does seem like Hannah has some additional input too. Is it possible that Hannah realizes if the Texans go through the first round without drafting a quarterback, that the fan base is going to take this very poorly? And I wonder if there's some pressure on Nick Caserio. And you want to put some tinfoil hattage on, are these weird rumors about Nick Caserio potentially leaving maybe linked to some pressure by ownership to take a quarterback at two, regardless of the quarterback? Could that lead to Nick Caserio leaving? And yes, keep your tinfoil hats firmly on here, because this is not based off of anything. But I will say, as someone who was in Seattle constantly laughing at Mike Florio's reporting on a supposedly frustrated Russell Wilson who was forcing his way out of town and some of the rhetoric that was said by Pete Carroll, John Schneider, we're not getting rid of him. Florio kept speculating and ended up being right based off of the idea that Russell Wilson would force his way out of town eventually. It was just a matter of time. So I sneered at a lot of those reports. He had something on Pro Football Talk yesterday. On Monday, Texans GM Nick Caserio said he's not leaving the team, but he also made it clear that he's not the only one with a say in the matter. Until ownership speaks on the issue, it's not over. So it's interesting to read that. Because first off, damn it, Florio. Damn it. But second, why would ownership maybe not be sold on Caserio? I'm sold on that idea because it felt to me like they were trying to send Nick a message that he wasn't being collaborative enough when they made him go up there for those 30 minutes after Lovie Smith had been canned as head coach of the team. So Caserio, this piece continues, It's speculated that he would return to the Patriots since Coach Bill Belichick is in get band back together mode. We're told it's unlikely that Caserio would end up back in New England, and for now we'll see what happens after the draft. Caserio said he's not leaving, but also added this: there's never really been any substantive discussions of this sort. And Florio, peak Florio with his tinfoil hat on, said that implies a few things. It suggests that the topic has come up on some form or fashion. When it comes to whether a guy is leaving, the effort to shout it down needs to be unequivocal. That's never really been any substantive discussions of the sort is not that. So interesting to see that. I suppose this is something we can keep an eye on with our cute little tin foil hats. I'm of the belief that ownership should stand back when it comes to a personnel grouping, personnel decision makers. Stay away from telling them what to do. But I kind of get why this would be maybe something the McNairs make an exception about. I wouldn't blame them, because there will be no buzz for this team going into next year if they do not draft a quarterback early. None. No one will care. You know it. I know it. I think most listeners know it. Yes, some people will go to the games. Yes, you'll watch on every Sunday if you are a Texans fan. But is that going to bring people back who are entirely checked out? It's not. That's a fact.
Yeah, and at some point, if I was Hannah or Cal, I would talk to Caserio and be like, so at what point do we want to at least start to answer the question of who our franchise quarterback is? Because at this point, it would have been I guess he drafted Davis Mills, but that's not really a... So we're going three off seasons now if they don't draft a quarterback, number one, where we're just like punting on even just drafting a guy to see if he's the franchise guy, not actually getting a franchise guy. I'm just
not even wanting, trying.
I just want the, oh, maybe this guy. They're just absolutely like, we're just punting on the quarterback position.
It's not a way to build an organization. I'm going to keep on saying that, but I get it. I do get it.
Sometimes you do need to hold your GM account. Like, you want to be Robert Kraft and just have Bill Bell have a great
Belichick
football
Brady,
mind,
yes,
run the entire thing for 20 years. Sometimes you need to actually hold the GM accountable of like, wait, what are we doing?
Right.
Exactly. What's the plan here?
Yeah. And look, this is a spot that you're in where ownership, I think, has to think about pandering. DeMeco Ryans is probably the coolest hire of this offseason. Some would argue that Sean Payton in Denver was the best hire. There was a little bit of fan service with that decision. Drafting a quarterback is fan service as well. You're at rock bottom. Like, there's so little buzz about this team. I'm looking at the text line right now. I'm looking at the Twitch. Everyone's like, why are you talking about this team? And maybe this is just a my show exception because the other shows talk about it a lot, and maybe that conversation doesn't happen on those shows. But I think there's a chance that perhaps ownership puts pressure, extra pressure, on Nick Caserio to make that move. And maybe that's a reason that these rumors about Nick Caserio thinking about leaving are happening. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in and text in. I was talking about a sport I don't normally talk about earlier in today's show. I think I have my favorite player from this sport of all time. After reading this report about he and his thruple, I will tell you about thruples next and a little garbage time. It's the Paul Galancho. Don't go anywhere.
This is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
By the way, don't you know, ESPN 97.5 is your home for the best draft coverage in the city. Hell yeah. Mock drafts, baby. The Wheelhouse is going to be live from the draft in Kansas City. And we'll be partying live and local at Valencia's Tex-Mex Garage on the Southwest Freeway from 6 to 11. When you arrive at our draft party, please make sure you sign up for our mock draft contest so you can qualify to win a, 75-inch TV courtesy of Audio Visual Consultations and a $50 gift card from Valencia's Tex-Mex Garage. Our entire NFL draft coverage is presented by 1800 Tequila, the official tequila of the Houston Texans. So the Astros lost to the Blue Jays 4-2 last night in a game where the offense struggled, left eight on base, and even though Mauricio Dubon increased his hit streak to 13 games, and there was a bit of a rally in the eighth inning, that rally was more scary than anything because in addition to Chas McCormick being placed on the 10-day injured list going in to tonight's game, going into last night's game, you also saw, one, Yordan Alvarez limp weirdly out of the batter's box after hitting an RBI single to right field. You also had Kyle Tucker hit a ball off of his knee earlier in that at-bat. So you're nervous about the depth, and you're not thrilled with the start, and now with Michael Brantley still not back, and McCormick potentially out, and Kyle Tucker, we'll see what's up with him, and Yordan Alvarez, we'll see what's up with him. The depth is getting low, and you're also not getting great performances from guys that we love, like the crown prince of the Paul Gallant Show. I'm the king. Jeremy Pena is the prince. And Chris is calling in. He is trying to find a way to get Jeremy Pena out of his slump. And I believe, Chris, that you have an alternative suggestion to break the slump.
What's going on, PG? Hey, man, I'm sitting at home in my recliner watching the World Series MVP and the American League Championship MVP not coming through. And I'm thinking to myself, what can I do to get this guy going, you know, from my recliner? And I'm thinking, you know what, let's call PG and give him my Jeremy Pena. Yeah, that's how we do it. We're going to get the mojo going on the PG show. I'm a Pearl Jam fan, and I appreciate your loving Jeremy Pena the way you do. So, you know, everyone's talking about Alex not hitting and this new guy at first base, whatever his name is, not hitting home runs. But, you know, Jeremy Pena, our World Series MVP, let's get him going, PG. I'm out.
Okay, I appreciate the phone call, Chris. So he just wanted to call in and say Jeremy Pena. Not going to lie, I was hoping that he had a musical number. Because this show, we are open to musicals.
I was going to say, you're always looking for a musical number.
Always. This show is fabulous. Yes, it is. We would like Jeremy Pena to hit the baseball. Anyway, it's time for garbage time, guys.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
So in one of the commercial breaks, I was talking about the big fight on Showtime that's coming up this weekend, and I'm very excited for it. It's going to be Gervonta Tank Davis, King Ryan Garcia. But I think I have a new favorite boxer. I think you could also make the case that he is the greatest boxer of all time. Retired boxer David Haye, nicknamed the Haymaker. Incredible nickname. A career 28-4 boxer. He went toe-to-toe once with Vladimir Klitschko. Had a good career, right? I like him because he is a thruples guy. A thruple is a three-way relationship. He always dates two women. And of course, as a former boxer who's in pretty good shape and I'm sure has a pretty good amount of money, he was most recently dating two women, Una Healy and Cianne Rosemarie. They're smoke shows. If you look it up for yourself, for research purposes, yeah. But he broke up with one of them. And he announced it on Instagram in the same way that Adam Schefter or Adrian Wojnarowski would put out a report about some sort of roster move. His post read this: "We experienced an unexpected opening in our team, But the invigorating atmosphere of the SXM Festival ensures that we'll soon have a full roster. So he's there with the girl that he didn't break up with, Cianne Rosemarie, and three other women. And guess what? David Hayes, the Haymaker, his thruple is back. It's not with Una Healy and Cianne Rosemarie. It's with Mikayla Jovanovic and Cianne Rosemarie. Mikayla is a former twerk dance teacher who hails from a family of Serbian migrants living in Austria. How about that? Goes from a smoke show to a smoke show who is also a twerk dance teacher. Check that. Was a twerk
former
dance teacher.
In a past life.
Was she disgraced? What happened?
Would you want to date two women at the same time?
I could not handle it.
I don't think I could either.
I could handle it, none of them knowing. But at the same time, if it was out in the open, I couldn't know that.
Well, how would it be easier if to juggle two women without them knowing?
Well, the thing is,
you
just don't commit to one.
Okay.
You just push it. You kick it down the
keep
road.
Keep one at arm's length.
Until, well, here's me, and I'm bad on this front. But you kick it down the road until one of them forces you to make a decision. And sometimes that doesn't work out so well. This is my problem. My problem is I either am in a complete slump or I meet a couple of people and I truly like those people all for different
reasons.
When
it rains, it pours.
Yes, essentially. It is a Houston rain pouring whenever it happens. And
the floods are shut down the city.
This is going to sound like I'm humble bragging. And I'm not intending for it to sound like that. But I think a lot of people can relate. Like, you never just meet one person. You always end up meeting a couple. And it sometimes is difficult to just pick that one. So I'm trying to change that these days. I'm trying to change it. So I got off all the apps after being back on them, going on a million dates for a couple of weeks, and we'll see where things go.
Or you don't try to fix yourself. You just pitch a thruple. I feel like you have to have one. I feel like it has to be a couple, and then you add in the third person. I think it's hard to coordinate three people at once.
You gotta have money.
That too.
I mean, it starts with have money. Okay?
Money,
step one.
Money, attractive. One, two.
Right, right. And this guy, this guy's in really good shape. You know, I finally went back to the gym after like 2 weeks off yesterday, and I've already noticed. I was like, oh, damn. I lost basically 2 months of progress by just taking 2 weeks off because I was being a little fat little piggy around my birthday. And, yeah, it's bumming me out. It's bumming me out just a little bit. It's like just enough of a bulge. No, not that kind of bulge. To, you know, drive me a little bit crazy. The tummy bulge. It's not fun.
What a way to end the show.
Yep, there we go. Whenever we end this show, baby, we crash landed.
It really is. We're the Sully Sullenbergers of radio.
How do we survive every time? I don't even know. Maybe this is the last time ever. Anyway, big thanks to Sean Mapes behind the glass, our callers, texters, and Twitchers. I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell. The Killer Bees are up next. Have yourselves a wonderful Wednesday. Peace!
I mean, honestly, I feel like Leonardo DiCaprio in The Wolf of Wall Street, but I'm not leaving.
I'm not leaving!
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.